Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a Trent presentation from April 2015. Ms. Nora Kühner, independent fashion and design consultant, presents Identity and Stereotypes.
So, good morning. Welcome to my presentation about stereotypes and identity. You may ask, what does this have to do with our brand, with our job, with the industry? But when I was talking to the trade fair management of Performance Days, we decided this is quite an interesting topic. As we all see at the moment, and I think you have already heard some other presentations yesterday and also this morning, I saw that we are all there's a lot of talking about that the industry, but especially for fashion and apparel industry, cannot continue in the way it does. We are still working in structures which were set up starting with the Industrial Revolution in the 19th century. And of course, we have perfected and standardized and optimized these structures and processes during the last 30, 40 years. But with the digital disruption happening today, where life gets faster every day, where we are connected in ways we could never have imagined by the early 80s, for example, that you are always in contact with the rest of the world, and we are globally on the move. So really, we see a shift and a dramatic shift to new structures which we have to define, which we have to think of, and in which we will work in the future, in the near future, because it's not all about talking about 2030 or maybe 2050. It's really coming very fast, as you can see, for example, with the iPhone or with some watches and things like these. They all have a much faster production and development cycle than they used to have 10 years ago. Now it takes only about maybe 120 weeks to bring up a new, completely technological, completely new thing or a follow-up of the iPhone, which is really interesting to see that this span you need for the development of apparel or textile things, but this is really shrinking. They also develop in much faster cycles. So, okay, to start with the stereotype, I think we all know stereotypes. Women can't park the car and so on. But this one is also, I think it deserves the lemons. The price argument, and I'm sure you all know this, and it's really the decisive argument within the last years. My customers are only interested in the price. This is really something very typical in Germany, but also in the UK. You have very price-orientated consumers. Nevertheless, they want to talk. It's from a newspaper interview with this guy last week, and they were talking about production conditions. And I think to say, okay, my customers are only interested in the price, and we can't make them feel bad about the conditions. This is not a good thing to do. I think this is thinking the wrong way, because it's not about making the customer a bad conscious. We should first start and tip to our own nose. We should have a bad consciousness, and maybe why are people so fixed to the price? Why is this the most important argument for buying or not buying? So this thing is a stereotype. Customers only buy if the price is right, and right price means low price. But I think it's also arising questions. And this is the thing of today. You have to ask questions and to question what we are doing. And of course, we try to find a lot of answers by data mining, excessive data mining. Everything you do on the PC, on the computer, in the net, is noticed and evaluated. And we are desperately seeking algorithms which can tell us what does the consumer want and what do we have to develop to make our product a bestseller. But this excessive data mining leads to descriptions of ever more fragmented target groups, because you know, this group, they share the same basic values, but then this one is more the one with a bit, he's more interested in technology, the other one is more interested in soft skills, the other one is more sports, and. You can do this really to infinity, because people are different, especially speaking globally. What is the, so this data mining doesn't solve the problem. The first thing is that we have a big, big gap which developed in the last 30 years. The side of the industry wanted to standardize, they want to optimize, to get things, and they want the mass. They want and need it to produce mass in order to get more money in their box. And on the other hand side, as you all know, we see an individualization of global societies. And this is the major trend, which doesn't stop. So from standardization to selfie, yeah, there is a big gap. The consumer doesn't want to be standardized and optimized. He wants to be him or herself, and they want to show the individuality, and they want to be distinctive from others. So I think this is the first thing we have to be aware, that there was a development within the last decades which was completely drifting apart. So, and for example, for Germany, the average expenses for clothing have shrunk by 50% in the last two decades. This is really dramatically. And what I was wondering about when I was in Paris 2 weeks ago, and I was visiting one of the big department stores there, and on the floor ground, crowded, there were all these IT bags and bags from Vuitton and whatever, and Hermes and so on, could be seen, and all the watches and really expensive perfumes, crowded. And this was on a Saturday, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. First floor, all the fashion brands, the high fashion brands. Nobody, more or less, I was the only one strolling around, except the salespeople. And I wonder, the first question which hit me was, what have we done? You see, I feel myself guilty, maybe you too. What have we done to clothing? What have we done that clothing is not appreciated and is not desirable anymore? Because if you think about clothing, this is our second skin. Now we wear it more or less 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's our constant companion. Whatever it is, it's our constant companion. We don't use any other product in the way we use and have it with us as clothes. Yeah? So it's not like oxygen, which we need, but nevertheless, it's really a product the consumer needs. As long as we don't live in a greenhouse with always the same temperature, cozy conditions to living, so we need it. But why are people not anymore keen on getting really nice stuff for an appropriate price? Of course, I don't have have answers to all these questions, but I think it's good to start thinking and to ask questions. So people, we all know this, they are ornating the body. The body is we see a kind of worship of the body, tattooing, body piercing, whatever. People like to work with their body and on their body, but they don't and they spend a lot of money for watches, for bags, for cosmetics, for medical surgery, but they don't spend money for clothing. So, yeah. And I think part of the problem is what we have done and how we exercised our job throughout the decades. Mass production, bad facilities, because I forgot this morning I wanted to bring with me a pile of articles from only one newspaper, a big German newspaper, daily newspaper, and only from this year, so means nearly 4 months. I have already such a pile of articles about bad conditions in production facilities of a textile industry, only from 1st of January to today. So, and only one newspaper. And for sure, textiles are not the most prominent topic to talk about. So I think this is really something which also influences the image of our branch, of the industry itself, and also the brands. So people say, because people say, of course, if they don't pay the workers good, why should I pay such a lot of money for something? Okay, for sure I want a 5 euro t-shirt. So we took the value away from our product, also with being more than 7 or 8 months per year in sale. Just last week I saw an advertising in the newspaper, just spring has begun and now we are doing mid-sale, a big department store here in Munich, telling people. So the season just starts and we are already in mid-sale. So. Crazy. And of course, we are not just in time. There's a lot of talking always about just in time. A down jacket in the store by August is not in time. It's just nonsense, pure nonsense. Mass production, of course. Mass production is something which is connected to lower quality. Of course, the quality is there, but it's not something which makes you unique, which gives you distinctiveness. And so for the consumer and for the individual which wants to expose himself or herself to the public, it's a cheaper thing. Okay, and as I mentioned in the beginning, a new era. We are really facing a new era. Everything is turned upside down, and we have to develop new structures. And some industries are already far ahead from textiles, but nevertheless, sooner or later, we will also be touched by that. And therefore, we can't continue like we used to do within the last 30 years. So, what we see, in the last 2 or 3 years, more and more fashion brands, high fashion brands, discover our fabrics, they discover our accessories, and would like to work with fashion, with sports textiles, but they treat it in another way. Of course, it's not their job to deliver functional and pragmatic clothing, but they do it different. So this is also from Paris 2 weeks ago. This big warehouse opened up a new fashion sport section. And this was really just, I saw this picture and I thought, yes, this is it. This is what I'm missing in sports. I miss the sense of humor. I miss the lightness. I miss this spirit of our days. Yeah? So I think this is really the first thing what we can learn about what fashion does with our material. They give it a feeling of, yeah, it's my world. Yeah, it's my day. It's, of course, I wouldn't never dress like this, but the spirit makes it. And this is the first thing which struck me. And what I liked especially was that I was in this space there and looked at it, and they're just opening up. And and what was interesting, all these smaller brands, there were lots of women, because this place is supposed to be only for women, and there were lots of women. And they didn't tackle the stores of the two biggest. So this was interesting to watch, because of course when it comes to shoes, the women, the people, they went to Nike. But for the clothing, they were with all these small brands, which some of these I didn't even know, and I also thought, ooh, this looks nice, I would like to, because they are different colors, I had a different shape, a different pattern. It was really, it was appealing. I don't say that these two big ones, they make a bad job, they do a good job, and they do sometimes an excellent job as a thing. But for example, with Adidas, women love Stella McCartney things. And then it's okay that it comes from Adidas. But pure Adidas style is not what women want. but Stella McCartney, and the fascination about this was also, I know a lot of women in Paris doing sports, and they found it wonderful, or think that, it's wonderful that you can get these sports clothing from Stella, designed by Stella McCartney. You can only get it in fashion stores and not in the sports store. So this is the fascination, because they don't want to enter a sports store. So these are, it's just talking about food for thoughts, yeah? What might be a thing to change, and what might be to be discussed in our range. So sports influences fashion. But on the other hand side, does fashion really influence our interpretation of doing mainly clothing in sports? No, still, we do urban wear of sports. But I think still we don't have understood that the boundaries are blurring. Really, the usual lifestyle in classic industrialized countries is integrating sports as part of the lifestyle. This is really, this is done, this is the thing. And so we will even see more blurring of these boundaries, so that you can't say, okay, this is a jacket I only wear outdoors, or something like this. It's really about getting more and more things in from sports, but we need, if we want to make business with that, we also have to watch more and more this thing, that we are not only talking to high performers or to people who go out and really exercise a very active thing, but sports is more than what we at the moment, most of us, still think. Sport is not a competition, it's a lifestyle, and which this is really something different. And our advantages, and I can't stop repeating this, is that we know how to work with our materials. We know how to work with a three-layer laminate or with a coated fabric. Because last winter, the same as every year, I'm working for a company who does quilting. The company always asks the customer who wants his fabric to be quilted. They ask them to mark the face side of the fabric. And every winter, at least two or three fabrics arrive where there is more fashion-orientated, but also some sports brands say, okay, we don't like the face side. Please turn the fabric the other way around, because we want the inner side outside. And I always keep people telling you, this is a functional fabric, and it has a coating, and you can't just turn it around, because the whole function will be disturbed. But that doesn't interest. No, we like the look of the inner side better than the outside look, so turn it around. So this is, and then you have a problem with the consumer. If he wears it, okay, it's no longer, there's no longer no perspiration, nothing, or the functionality is disturbed. So, but they don't care about it. So why don't we offer something like this? And because we know how to do it. We have the knowledge. We have the know-how. So give up stereotypes and discover identities. You all know that this is really, these are good samples for how sports is doing advertising. It's always about adrenaline, about power, energy, sweat. And it's mainly still male-orientated advertising. But I'm sure also men, there's a lot of talking at the moment about the new men and new types of men in fashion, and that men discover fashion again. So I think also some men will be happy if this would change. So high time for the sports industry to think collections anew, to re-establish something which is really worth thinking of and which is, I think, necessary, the lost relationship between designers and the production process. Because as long as you are only sketching and you don't know how to work with the material, your design will never be the best possible. And you see with a lot of young people, startups, who work with, who do the prototyping themselves. And we heard yesterday about these possibilities of 3D printers and so on. It's coming, slowly but surely it's coming, also for our textile industry. It's really something to get back to the roots and to work and to make really genuine development. Because what we do by only, I'm talking for designers, if you only sketch and sketch, if you don't have the experience, or like me, I know I have been in production facilities for many years. I know my job, but the young students today, how should they learn about this? They cannot know. And also for the latest technological developments in producing things. And this you have to exercise yourself or to try to, so that you can think of new solutions. This is something really we need to get forward. Of course, we have to create new marketing stories and narratives and imagery, to adjust retail strategies, to set up new partnerships between the industry and retailers, because the industry is says, okay, you haven't sold a lot, I don't make money. The retailer is unhappy because he doesn't sell, because he has too much in store, and. So you see, it's really a whole process which has already started. Some are aware of things, but we have to think and to discuss and to exchange about this. I just want to give an example from a really super standardized product, the hamburger, the usual one as we know it from McDonald's or Burger King. And they are currently thinking about new strategies, how to get the consumer to back to their burger. Of course, we just always sell still. The most burgers in Germany are sold by McDonald's. Nevertheless, within the last 2 years, they have about 5% shrinkage in turnover per year. And they are thinking about new strategies. And for example, we have here in Munich, Hans im Glück, called after a fairy tale, a German fairy tale. And they sell burger with an average price of €7. Yeah, but they have a big success. They are already spreading nationwide. And also other concepts, like here in France, these burgers and bagels made to taste, made to measure. You can select the ingredients you want, and you can have your individual burger or bagel. And these concepts really, they take away a lot of the money from the big ones. And this is also happening in textile. We already see it. But some startups or small companies who do really nice done and refined products, well thought of, and regional or local context, they are really successful. Of course, not in the way of a mass production, but this is not the decisive thing. So the thing is that the basic of this development, it's still there. Fast food is what people want. They don't have time to have a big lunch at noon or so. They want fast food, but they want it different, and they want it individual, and maybe even ethical correct. They want to know where was the cow brought up or whatever. So, back to sports. First of all, sports represents the joy of movement. We are happy today if we bring the kids to move and not to spend so much time in front of a computer gaming, because we have a lot of problems with overweight, with children, and diabetes with children. So the first thing is the joy of movement. And people are really constantly creating new forms. I have seen here some young men doing a kind of, I would call it, cycle polo. With a bicycle, they do play kind of polo. And or here with water ball polo or whatever it is, or kayak polo in Sevilla. So people are really innovative when it comes to sports and adapt sports in urban surroundings, and also to adapt it to the possibilities they have in time to make sports in the evening. For example, these young pupils were in Paris in front of the Hotel de Ville and in a central place in the urban center. So the settings, besides this digital disruption, the settings in which we will have to develop further. or which will have impact and strong impact on our work and on the things we or products we will be asked for. So big topic, healthcare and well-being. And just the magazine from this week, just published yesterday, first day, movement. We have to move to stay healthy, to remain healthy, and to improve our health. This is really, in the meantime, a big, big topic because no state on earth can cover the costs from them, for all people to take care of them. So invest in the classic industrialized countries, which is already a big problem. How to take care of people, and and how to finance it. So sooner or later, like here from last week in a German newspaper, gesünder per Gesetz. So we want to force us by law to maintain our health. And we are already discussing, for example, to have one of these bracelets, which will deliver the data directly to the insurance, to your medical insurance, so that they can send you a message, say, hey, you have to move, otherwise your participation, your fee will be higher next 5 months or so. So these are things which are already discussed. So health is really one of the topics. And I think in this way, we can also create value because something which you do for the people which want to support their health or want to be more healthy, this is has a value because it's their life. It's their lifespan which changes. And of course, we have a quantified self-optimization of the individual performance. These are the high performers, I would call, of these medical or health movement. I would say this is here you can really invent and make innovations with all kind of gadgets just to track yourself and your performance. But nevertheless, I think these are topics where we can create value. It's not just a t-shirt to cover myself and protect me a little bit, that I'm not naked, but these are really problems or things which tackle the individual itself. Next thing, of course, we already heard it yesterday, and we heard it also, I have said it before several times, demographic shift in the EU. More and more people will be about 60 and elder, so this will change the request for products. Of course, nobody wants it under the headline of only for old people. It's just let's think of them in terms of what kind of patterns do they need, what are they needing. And we all will come sooner or later to the point where we see that what is in the shops is not enough for us. Maybe the sizes are not fitting, a big problem, the patterns are not nice for a body which isn't perfect despite all medical surgery. So really, it's a topic to think of, and it doesn't depend on if we are only walking or being on the playground for senior people or doing extreme sports, because I would say the lady is already doing an extreme sport for her age. So just let them make us believe that we can also think of things which cannot so be done so easily. It's of course it's not simple, but do it. The other thing is sharing. It's also a thing which will really tackle us, because people, especially mothers, already do it for a long time. They exchange clothes, forward the clothes their kids are not using any longer because they are not fitting any longer. They give it to others, they exchange. So this is something which was always there, but now it's also becoming a kind of economy. But on the other hand side, it's still something that people organize just themselves, swapping clothing, so exchange makes you happy because you have a better feeling, because you are ethically more correct. You don't waste energy for a brand new T-shirt, and so this is really also a life credo, I would call it. But people, they slowly but surely become aware that the boundaries of our planet are just there, and we can't do anything. We can't bring new water to the earth. We can't bring new oxygen. We can't bring new petrol. If it's finished, it's finished. And so on. Of course, we can think of our solution. But also, why not be a little bit careful in spending it today? And just something from end of March, also an idea, shoe tausch tage, exchange your shoes, buy a new one, and get 50 euro advantage. And these shoes, the old shoes, are given to people in the Swiss Alpine regions, and they are using them, or they will recycle them. So just ideas like this. Of course, you can say it's only marketing. Who will control this? Nevertheless, I think at first we should also trust a little bit. And on the other hand side, it's really possible to do it. As I said, limited resources, responsible creation and production is really something we have to start with. We can't only think of doing good business with low prices. Why not do good business with a bit higher prices and even some more ethical correctness? And then, of course, as I said before, new marketing strategies, new imagery. I love this current advertising campaign of Lacoste. And I choose the male one because this is really something, as I mentioned before, with spirit, a little bit of lightness, a bit of humor, of human touch, and not only this, man, I make it, a little bit of lightness. Give me a feeling that life can be beautiful and that you support me with your clothes the best way. This is something really we have to think of. The people we don't have, because this was the old way. We developed products, not only we in textiles, but others. We developed products and we brought it to the market. And then the consumer bought it or he didn't. Today, people want that you support them in being an individual with individual needs and with individual ideas about what to do. And these ideas can change in a second if they get a tweet from Hong Kong saying, no, you have to have this one, or you have this T-shirt. So really, things are happening much faster than we can actually produce. So nevertheless, we have to give back people the feeling that we develop for them and not for our own money box. And especially a favorite of mine, I will talk about this also at outdoor show. I'm asked about gender and what is going on. Women also prefer another way of advertising, and you reach them in a way when you look to their way of life, and they have several roles to fulfill, and this is their way of living, and not only always we enjoy the hard work. I also enjoy sports, and I enjoy skiing extremely, but nevertheless, I want joy, and I would be happy if we could get rid a little bit of this image that sports is a hard thing to do, and you can only, it's more a pain than really a delight or pleasure. Okay, so dare to be unique. And I think then you really, as the consumer who became more and more individualized, he wants to be different, he wants to be distincted from others easily. So I think you really have to think about your brand. Who are we? What is my brand? And set up your claim. Because this is the only way where you can continue within the next decades. It's a new century, and things we have to really question ourselves. Who are we? And where do we want to be? And then understand the consumer and his needs, and innovate. Not do something because it's possible to make 45,000 millimeter water column for a fabric. Yes, it's possible. But who wants it? Who needs it? Is it not sheer nonsense? Because for a skiing jacket, it's not necessary. Yeah? Maybe if you do a neoprene quality for deep sea diving, yes, where it makes sense, but not here on a table for skiing or an outdoor jacket. Nobody needs 45,000 millimeter water column. Okay, and flexibility and know-how. I think this is really something also. Global supply chain is a maze. It's over complex, and we are really in problems to react in time to the changing needs of our consumer. So, therefore, break the rules and start it the best today. And then lots of success. And I'm happy to ask to your questions, or maybe we can have a discussion if you want. I'm here, and but if you have any question right now, please give me a sign. If not, I thank for your attention, and I'm sure we will discuss this further on, because this process just has started. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to www.performancedays.eu. Copyright April 2015 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.